If you have kids or grandkids, you probably found yourself cooking or ordering special foods just for them.
And just about any restaurant that welcomes families will have a separate kids menu that features spaghetti, chicken fingers, or maybe a hot dog or PBJ.
But if you travel abroad or know children being raised in other countries, you may have noticed that the U.S. might be unique in catering to children's limited eating preferences.
Joining us to talk about the concept of children's food is Gail Coleman. She's a specialist with the UW Extension Nutrition Education Program. Gail, welcome to Central Time.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, when we talk about children's food in the United States, what are the most common things?
Oh, I tend to think about, you know, if I go to a restaurant, they've got fried chicken fingers or macaroni and cheese or maybe pizza, hamburger. Not a very varied menu.
And not a lot of fresh food, it sounds like.
No, it tends to be the things that are either sweet or maybe salty. Right, not a lot of the fruits and vegetables or things like that.
And you called children's food a modern myth. What do you mean by that?
Right. Well, it's really interesting when you think back to the early 1900s. That's when people that were doing marketing realized that if they marketed something specifically for kids or to children, they could really increase their sales on some of those items. And then, of course, when the media grew and the introduction of television and these messages were broadcast all over the country, the advertising really took off, and you started to see a lot more of, you know, toys or prizes in children, in cereals that were geared for children or snacks that were geared for children. And in restaurants, you started to see special meals or special menus just for children. So it really took off. And of course, now we have social media, and you see advertisements when you open up your computer, when you check your phone, things like that. So these messages are all around, and I think they've actually convinced a lot of adults that you need special foods or there are certain foods that are specifically for children, and that's really not true.
Well, and I think that the idea is that kids won't eat the things that adults are eating or that the whole family is eating, but what is it like in other countries? Are we really unique in this?
Oh, that's a really good question. So when you think about over time through history, and when you look at what people are eating in other countries, let's say it's a country where they eat a lot of spicy foods, the children tend to eat what the adults eat over time. I mean, young infants, of course, are not going to be
not putting a Thai chili pepper in their bottle.
Exactly.
Or anything.
But children really learn from their family members and their friends, you know, what are foods that they can eat. And the more they're exposed to these foods, the more their taste develops to appreciate the flavors.
What do you put that down to? Is it that Americans aren't cooking as much as, say, parents in France are, that they're not getting the education about food from an early age in the kitchen?
Well, it's probably a combination of factors, but I think the biggest things are marketing. I mean, really, advertising has a really strong effect. You know, if you see children's television, for example, you see a lot of ads for, again, very sweet foods, and those are the things that then the children are asking their parents for. There's actually a term for some of that advertising. It's called pester power, where the children will pester their parents to get to purchase something that they've seen advertised as fun, you know, maybe with cartoon characters or, again, prizes or sports figures or things like that. So that's a piece of it as well.
Is part of what we're talking about, this concept of kids' food and what kids will eat, kind of projecting that on kids, is that part of a broader American cultural factor of where we really treat kids as very separate from adults? It's not so much of a continuum, but it's like they're kids, they're adults, and you're treated one way when you're this age and a different way when you get to, say, 18.
Yeah, I think sometimes there is that mindset, but really, and this really goes along with tastes as well, children learn to become adults, or they grow into adults, and the same way with food, you know, they learn to like foods. If a child doesn't like a food the first time, that's pretty natural, especially if it's not sweet or salty, because those are flavors that are more readily accepted, but something that might be a little bit bitter or sour. It may take exposure to the food multiple times. Now, that's not to say that everybody's going to like every food. My son said to me when he was probably about 12, "Mom, you told me after I tried this broccoli at least 12 times I'd like it, and I'm still not liking it." So, you know, not every food appeals to every person, but people's tastes do develop. And if you think about maybe an example for yourself, I know I wasn't a coffee drinker when I was a child because coffee was bitter, but I love coffee now. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like I kept tasting it because I wanted to be more of an adult, and I wanted to learn to like it, and now I do. So our tastes can develop over time, and we need to expose children to the variety of tastes so that they do develop these tastes. And I'm not saying forcing. I mean, we really want to encourage children, you know, make it an adventure to try something new, make it fun to try something new. Maybe going into a restaurant, you're going into a restaurant, and rather than ordering off the kids' menu, maybe asking, you know, what would you like to try? And if it's something off the adult menu, maybe they're tasting something that you're eating because maybe the portion's too large or you want to split
the portion. The portion is probably big enough to share.
Right. Or maybe, you know, they're ordering something like an appetizer that isn't as overwhelming for a child as far as size.
Is there anything different about kids' palates, the way that they experience the flavor of food? Or if we were just to sit them down on these kids' menu, there would be steak and lobster and lentils. Would they be just as likely to like those foods as an adult would?
There are some differences with children. You know, again, they have a natural tendency to like things that are sweet and salty. They see that even with infants, you know, if they give them something. But they will develop their tastes over time. And, you know, even with adults, their tastes can change as well. I mean, when you think about some of the extremes, children are probably much more sensitive to tastes, and older adults have lost some of that taste sensation. So things do change over time, and there may be some things that, will appeal to adults more because they've developed those tastes, and maybe they want something a little bit spicier because they're not as sensitive to some of the seasonings.
We're talking with Gail Coleman. She's a specialist with the UW Extension Nutrition Education Program, and we're talking about the concept of children's food and what kids will eat and won't eat. So, Gail, we've talked about some of these big picture influences, marketing and other things, but what about in a family setting? Do children start eating only some foods, or do parents start only offering them those limited options? I guess I'm wondering what the dynamic is. Is there a chicken and an egg?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good question as well. Because, yes, there are a lot of parents that, you know, they want to please their child. They don't want to waste food if a child doesn't like it. But there are certainly things that families can do to encourage children to eat a variety of foods. I think probably the first thing is the expectation that, you know, these are the foods that we're having for this meal, and this is what you have to choose from. I'm not going to be a short order cook and make you a pizza if the rest of the family is eating lasagna or something like that. So that's one thing that can be taken into account. The other thing is, you know, parents and siblings should really be role, or it would be good for them to be role models as well, because if parents aren't willing to try something different or eat certain foods, you know, children see that and they learn from that, well, if they're not willing to eat that vegetable, then I'm not going to eat it either. So being a role model, having the expectation that what's available for the meal is what everybody's going to be eating, those are a couple of the things that could be done.
Well, once a child has gotten used to eating those kids' menu items for several years, did the parents blow it, or is there still a chance for them to help their kid get out of that food rut?
I think there's always a chance. You know, kids go through phases as well. It's pretty typical that a toddler, for example, is going to be really hesitant to try new foods. And again, they think, you know, back in history, there's probably a reason for that, because once children are more independent and can be out on their own choosing foods, you want them to be a little bit more hesitant about trying different things because you don't want them to poison themselves or get sick. So kids kind of go through that phase. But then as they get a little bit older, you know, they might like to be more adventuresome, or they might appreciate having something that's fun. So, you know, people can change their attitudes and their thoughts about things at any age.
I actually remember my daughter being quite young and trying olives and, you know, like pretty heavily cured olives and, you know, couldn't stand them. I think there might have even been spitting out involved. But she willingly tried them a couple years later and ended up liking them. So mm-hmm. I think palates change and also just what seems to be food to mm-hmm. them changes as well.
mm-hmm. Exactly.
We'll continue our discussion with Gail Coleman in a moment, but we also want to hear from you. Do you make different food for your children, or do they eat what the rest of the family is having?
If your child wants those children's foods, those very specific and limited foods, where do you think that those tastes and preferences come from? And do you have any advice and tricks to share for expanding a child's taste?
We hope you'll join the conversation by calling 800-642-1234 or email us at talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page or tweet us at Central Time WPR.
We're continuing our conversation with nutrition educator Gail Coleman about kids' food and why she says it's a modern myth.
And we want to hear from you. Do you find yourself making a whole different meal for your children, or do they eat what the rest of the family is having?
Were you a picky eater as a child yourself, and where do you think kids learn to eat just that limited option of mac and cheese and hot dogs from?
Join the conversation by calling 800-642-1234 or emailing us at talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We go to our callers now. We've got Tony on the line with us in Fenimore. Tony, hi.
Hello. In my family, growing up, we had to try whatever was on the plate. If we didn't like it, my mom had to at least make us try it once. And if we didn't like it, we were allowed to finish the meal, but we couldn't have anything extra, like dessert. If we couldn't have dessert, or if we didn't try that, we couldn't have dessert. But if we tried it, we could have the dessert. But basically, we had to try. And that was the biggest thing. And she knew that I hated peas. I still hate peas today. I'm 44 years old. I hate peas.
All right.
But we had to try it every time.
All right. Thanks, Tony. Still hates peas, but he had to try everything. And that was the rule in their house. Is that a good rule of thumb? The one try at least? Or maybe it takes several tries?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea to encourage children to try something, but not force them to eat everything. I mean, because it might take trying something multiple times. And a child might just kind of lick something at first or sniff it a little bit. I mean, they may not actually chew it, or they might chew it and then spit it into a napkin. So that, you know, that is a good strategy for parents to use. I want to comment on your pea example, though, because I will say I have learned to like peas, and there's a reason for it. When I was growing up, we used to have really overcooked canned peas, and that's why I thought, oh, these just don't taste very good. But, you know, I had to keep trying them. But as I got older and then I started to taste fresh peas and frozen peas, I realized that, you know, maybe it's the way that you prepare them or the way that you serve them or the form that they're in. So I was glad that I did keep trying peas.
I think that's a great point, because I think depending on how something is prepared, it can have a very different, not just taste, but texture. And so I'm not saying that Tony needs to run out and, you know, try 10 different pea preparations, but maybe there are, especially with kids, saying, oh, okay, you don't like that. Well, you know, maybe next week we'll try to roast that instead of boiling it or something like that, and encouraging them to not think of it as a black and white situation.
Exactly.
Let's go back to the phones, and Colette in Three Lakes is up. Hi, Colette.
Hi, I hope you can hear me.
Yes.
I think we're sort of coddling kids so much. My kids never really had a problem with trying different foods. Both my husband and I love to cook, and we're gourmets, and my husband was a chef, and they always just ate whatever food we ate. When they were babies, I just took the food we ate and put it in a blender, and they ate it. And I never made special meals for them. If they didn't like it, well, there's another meal coming up in 3 hours. Kids are not going to starve themselves. Eventually, they're going to eat. They're going to eat something. My sister took the other approach and was constantly making little meals. And her son is 16 now, and he will only eat cheese and bread, which is not never. And she doesn't bother her, but it bothered me. And we never made a big deal of it. Well, here we're having curried eggplant with couscous tonight. This is what we're having. And so they just eat everything now, and they're very adventurous eaters.
Thanks for that call, Colette. Gail, do you think, I mean, there must be some level of a personality towards being very timid about eating or being really adventurous, but the just setting up that expectation that this is what's for dinner, you know, you're welcome to have as much as you want or you'll be hungry. Is that an okay approach to take?
That is true. And you're right. People have different personalities, and the same thing applies to with their food. Some people may be more adventuresome. Some people might be more hesitant to try something. They want to see if somebody else likes it first. So that is true. But yes, if you have that expectation that this is what we're having for dinner, this is what's available, children will eat. You're right. They're not going to starve themselves.
We're hearing about the advantages of cooking fresh and having home-cooked things, thinking about Tony's peas and your canned peas. Parents may like to put those fresh peas on the table, but canned peas are easier when you're strapped for time. So what do you do when you want to encourage your kids to eat different things, but you yourself, you know, you may not be able to get into that kitchen and cook that freshly cooked homemade meal?
Yeah, I appreciate the fact that there are challenges with time and priorities. I mean, you have working moms and dads that come home and maybe they want to spend some quality time just hugging their kids and sitting down and talking to them, and they don't have the time to make a home-cooked meal or something like that. Fortunately, we do have a wide range of, you know, lightly processed foods and really healthy foods that you can choose from. Even it's still not limited to a handful of foods like fried chicken strips and pizza and hamburgers and mac and cheese.
So use some of them, but maybe not all of them.
Right.
Well, and actually that brings up a really interesting point, Gail, because it doesn't seem like it has to be an either or. Either we're spending time with our kids or we're cooking good meals. I mean, what role can helping kids understand how meals are made or even how vegetables are grown, how can that encourage them to maybe be a little more adventurous if they're actually taking part in the process?
Oh, those are great strategies for encouraging kids to make healthier choices and eat a greater variety of food. I'm not saying that the mac and cheese and things like that are not healthy at all or anything. That's fine. It's just you don't want a steady diet of just a handful of foods.
Or as our caller said, just bread and cheese.
Right, right. So yes, getting your kids in the kitchen to help with preparing and, you know, if you're growing a garden and they're helping with growing the food, they are more likely to taste the food if they've helped to prepare it, if they've helped to choose it in the grocery store or maybe at the farmer's market, or they've helped to grow it.
And it seems like they're also gaining life skills that way as well.
Yes. And plus it's quality time with mom and dad and siblings.
Is there a good rule of thumb about how many times to present a food to a child before you say, you know what, he really just doesn't like peas?
I have heard that question before, and when you look at the research, I've seen a range of times. I think I've seen up to 30 times.
30 times.
But generally speaking, it's more like, you know, 10 to 15 times.
Well, that's still a significant amount of peas on a plate, though.
And some children, it won't take that long, but yes, okay. It could take a while.
And some, like our previous caller, it could be 300, and he's still not going to like peas. And that's okay. I mean, I'm a pretty adventurous eater, and I like a wide range of things, and there are just a few things that I don't like, and that might not change.
Yep, and there's nothing wrong with that.
We'll get you to like them, Judith. We'll keep presenting them. You can tell us what they are later.
No.
Well, Gail, thank you so much for joining us and telling us about how to get the kids to try new stuff.
Okay, it was a pleasure to be here.
Well, we are speaking there with Gail Coleman, a specialist with UW Extension Nutrition Education Program, and we've got a link to her article about children's food as a modern myth over on the Central Time Facebook page, so you can keep the conversation going over there. Tell us how your parents approached your diet, and how did it work out for you? Do you eat that variety of foods, or do you still maybe have more of a limited range?